Good morning. This is a very special weekend in the life of our church. As we've mentioned, it is Bible Sunday. This is the weekend we celebrate our first graders, our sixth graders, and our graduating seniors. This weekend, we are also continuing our series entitled Jars of Clay as we look at what it means to live these fragile lives that we've been given as we seek to serve Jesus. And I believe that it is very fitting that we are in this series on Bible Sunday, because I believe that there is a lot that we can learn from our kids and our teenagers on what it means to follow Jesus even when life seems fragile and even when suffering seems very, very real. Because let's be honest, kids and teenagers, they know life is fragile. They know life is hard. I remember the first time this became real to me, I was in first grade. I can't tell you my teacher's name. I can't tell you what we learned that year. But what I can tell you is that that was the year that my grandma Shumsky got really sick. And my mom was away for a while taking care of her. And suddenly, sickness and death were very real to me. And then when I was in the second grade, my body showed me how fragile it was. I had mono and a severe sinus infection all at once, and so I missed 3 months of second grade and went through more medical testing than I knew existed. And ever since I was 3 years old, I have watched my mom battle Crohn's disease. And when I was in third grade, she had her first major surgery. And so clearly, no matter what age we are, we're not immune to the fact that life is fragile, that life is hard. So the question today is not how do we get rid of suffering or how do we avoid it altogether. The question for us today is how do we live as followers of Jesus in these fragile lives that we've been given? And so as we continue looking at 2 Corinthians, we're going to see the answer to this question. Paul is going to help us understand that. And as we do so, we're going to see that it really is rooted in having a childlike faith. And we're going to take a page from the books of our kids and our teenagers this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 4. We're going to pick up in verse 13 and read through chapter 5, verse 1. And this is what the word of the Lord says. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So here we have Paul, who is himself at a fragile point in life. He completely admits it right up front. He says, my body is wasting away. He is physically failing. He's also in a fragile place emotionally and relationally, because he's writing to the church at Corinth, and their relationship has been a little tough. The Corinthians keep calling him out. They don't really believe that he's good enough to be an apostle. They question his authority. It's not exactly the best relationship. And so Paul gets this idea of life being fragile, right? But what we see here is not a Paul who is just resigned to getting through, who's just trying to survive the hard times. We see Paul thriving. We see Paul confident in what he is called to do. We see a Paul who is living so loud, a Paul who is living life to the fullest, even when it's hard. And how is he doing this? Well, the first thing is that he is standing firm on who he knows God to be. He quotes Psalm 116 when he says, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." And he says, "Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus." That's a pretty bold claim. He knows that the one that raised Jesus is going to raise him? How does he know that? Well, for the same reason the psalmist was able to say, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." I'm going to read from the NLT here because I love how Psalm 116 starts. In the NLT, it says, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath." See, the psalmist was on his deathbed at one point. And so he gets how fragile life is. He knows suffering, but he knows something even more important. He knows God in a real, tangible way. And what I love about how it is written in Psalm 116 is that, and I'm going to use Olivia here. Olivia's going to help me. Olivia's going to stand up. She's got these boots because she's standing firm on who she knows God to be. And kids know Jesus in a real way, right? They know God. And you know why they know God? And this is what the psalmist says. Because God bends down. Hey, Olivia, you don't have to bend down, just me. I am taller than you. I'm not taller than many people, but I'm taller than you. So God bends down, and he bends down to tell us how much he loves us. He bends down so that we know that he's not far away up here somewhere. He's right here. He's right here, and he's listening when it's hard, and he's listening when we cry. And he's listening when we don't understand what's going on, when life seems so fragile. God is right here. And when we're little, this is easy to believe. When I was about Olivia's age, or maybe a little younger, my sister Sarah, who is younger than me, but bigger by a lot, she and I were wrestling, and she ended up on top of me. And my way to get her off was to inform her that she needed to get off because she was squishing Jesus. Because Jesus was somewhere inside of me, because that's how that worked, right? I had asked Jesus to come in my heart, so he was literally there, and so she needed to get off, because that's how we know God when we're little. But something happens when we get older, and we forget that God is still bending down, that he's still with us right here. And we think that he's somewhere off here, and we take our list of what we know we need to do to please God, and we use it to put him up here, and we forget that in order to live the holy lives God is calling us to live, he's gotta be right here. And we put his love somewhere up here, and we remove it from ourselves. But in order to stand firm on who we know God to be, we have to know him like this. We can't keep him way up here. So the first thing that we do when life seems so fragile is we remember that God is right here. Thank you, Olivia. You can sit back down. So what's the second thing? What else do we need to do? First off, it changes, knowing God changes how we stand, right? But Paul also reminds us that it has to change how we see. How we see. Paul says it so beautifully. He says, "I have fixed my eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And as I was reading through this section of 2 Corinthians, I was like, okay, what is Paul fixing his eyes on? And he says things like the inward transformation that he knows is happening, the eternal glory that waits for him, right? The heavenly body that he's gonna get at the end when his earthly body's wasted away. And as I'm thinking about all these things, it dawns on me that none of this is stuff you can actually see, right? Paul is fixing his things on things you can't see. So what Paul is reminding us here is that when we feel like life is fragile, we don't change what we see, we change how we see. Because remember, the suffering's gonna be here. Life is fragile, that doesn't change. But God invites us to see differently. That phrase that Paul uses to fix his eyes on something, it literally means to look at with intent in order to determine worth. So Paul has observed what he can physically see, and then he has focused his eyes on what he cannot see, and that has been determined as worth more than what he can see. So he puts his attention there. I'm gonna have Rebecca stand up. She's got this balloon. I mentioned to you earlier that when I was in the third grade, my mom had her first major surgery. Now, when I think back on that time in my life, the first thing that I remember is not seeing my mom in a waiting room or in her hospital room. The first thing that I remember is not the staples that my mom showed me were on her stomach. The first thing that I remember when I think back to that were the balloons in the waiting room. I can tell you that my mom had her surgery in Philadelphia, not because I remember traveling to Philadelphia, but because the waiting room was covered in Philadelphia Eagle balloons. And that's what I remember. Now, why did I notice the balloons? My mom was having a major surgery. She was really sick. And yet my third grade eyes found balloons. And I can't help but wonder if it's because my eyes found hope. Because with my childlike faith, I was able to put my eyes on the hope in the room. Because balloons are used universally as a sign of celebration. And so I fixed my eyes on the hope in the room. And you see, God does that for us. He has given us his promises. He has bent down so that we might know him. He sent his son Jesus that we might know him. And in Jesus is found so much hope. And Paul knew this. It's where his eyes were set on the hope that is in Jesus. These promises of God were Paul's balloons. He couldn't actually see them the way I saw the balloons in the waiting room, but that's where he put his eyes. It didn't change what he saw, it changed how he saw, because he was fixing his eyes on the promises that are in Jesus. See, Jesus gives hope. It doesn't change the fact that life is fragile, but it gives us a new way to see. Thank you, Rebecca. So as God changes our how, he changes our how we stand and how we see. He also changes our why. See, something really incredible happens when we focus on who God is and the hope that is in Jesus. It is incredibly humbling when you start to just realize how much the God of the universe loves you, that he would give you all of these promises, all these things to rest your hope in. And it reminds us that, as Pastor Roger told us last week, it's not about us. These fragile lives that we've been given, they're not about us. I'll be honest with you for a minute. This week was a little hard. I was pretty emotionally kind of drained by the end of it, and I wasn't entirely sure how I was going to preach. Because when you're feeling emotionally drained and you got to preach that weekend, it's kind of like, can I do that? Like, I've been irritated this week. Like, do I even qualify? Can I even get up there and talk? And I was sharing this with somebody, and I was expressing my frustration at myself, that I was frustrated, which is like an interesting cycle. And so I'm expressing this to this person, and he's listening, and he's quiet. And after a little while, he just stops and he goes, you know, sometimes when we're going into times of ministry, I think it's better that we're empty. I think it's better that we're drained. Because it means that we have to fully rely on who God is and not on who we are. And Paul says something similar to that in another one of his passages. He says, for when I am weak, I know that you are strong. And what he's saying here to the Corinthians who have questioned his authority is, I am speaking not because of what I know about me, not because I'm hoping in myself, but because of what I know about God and the fact that my hope is in Jesus. And so because of that, I am going to live loud. Paul says, I'm going to speak. Not because I'm worth anything, not because I can, not because my life is somehow less fragile than yours. No, my life is still really fragile, but I am rooted in who God is, and my hope is in who Jesus is, and so I have no choice but to live loud, because this life, it's not about me. He says it really beautifully. He says, all of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. In other words, I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to fix my eyes on hope, and I'm going to live loud because you need to know the grace of Jesus, and because God needs to get the glory. It is for the sake of others and for the glory of God. And teenagers help us do this really well. Yep, Connor, this is your turn. Connor gets to stand up. He gets the megaphone. And so teenagers are loud. And it's really good that teenagers are loud. Connor's not the loudest teenager, but he's got the megaphone. So teenagers are really loud. And you know what else teenagers are? They're caring. And they are sensitive to the needs of the world. And they want to be a part of making a difference. Teenagers get really excited about these like big movements that are changing the world. And they want to be a part of them. And they want to do something that matters. And you know what's really awesome about teenagers? They don't disqualify themselves from doing this. We as adults, we disqualify ourselves. Like somehow we can't be a part of what God is doing because of X, Y, and Z, because our week was emotionally draining, because we can't even keep our kitchen organized, because like whatever things come in the way, whatever weaknesses are there, we disqualify ourselves. Teenagers don't do that. They're just bold. They just go. They're just ready to make a difference, and they're loud. And we need to pay attention to that. We need to appreciate that, and we need to copy that. We need to be loud like teenagers are so that we can make a difference in this world. I'm going to have you stay standing. And Olivia, I'm going to have you stand back up. Rebecca, I'm going to have you stand back up. So this week, you're going to learn a little bit from our kids and our teenagers. Because this week, we want to remember that when life is fragile, because it is, you're doing such a good job holding those boots. I'm sorry, those are so much bigger than you. Okay, so when life is fragile, we stand firm on who we know God to be. We fix our eyes on the hope that is in Jesus. And as we're doing that, we live loudly. And so today, to end our message, I'm going to invite the rest of the first graders in the room to come join Olivia over here on this part of the stage. So if you're in first grade, you can come up, come stand right next to Olivia here. If you are in sixth grade, come stand next to Rebecca right here. Trust me, you're getting Bibles out of this, so you come on up. So you're gonna stand right here next to Rebecca. And if you are a graduating senior, can you come and stand right next to Connor? Awesome, here they come, good. And we're gonna recognize our kids and our teenagers today because we have to remember that they are the ones that remind us to know who God is, to fix our eyes on the hope of Jesus, and they're the ones who give us permission to be loud. And we're going to start with our first graders. Abby's going to come up and help me give them each a Bible. Olivia, you can put the boots down now. That way you can hold your Bible. How's that sound? That sound good? All right, so Abby, come on over. She's going to hand them their Bibles. What I need you guys to do is I'm going to hold this mic in front of you, and I want you to tell all of these people your name. Can you do that for me? I've said yours like 5 times during this service, but we're going to have you do it anyway, okay? Sound good? All right.
Olivia.
All right. Yay. All right, and now we're going to do our sixth graders. You ready? You got to do this too. I believe in you. You can say your name. Ready?
Andrew.
Elijah.
Rebecca.
Emma.
All right, can we give a hand for our first and sixth graders? All right, and I'm going to pray over them, and then you guys can go sit down, and then we're going to do our seniors. All right, so let's pray for our first and sixth graders. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for these kids. We thank you for the way that they are just being brought up to know you. And Lord, as they are given these Bibles, Lord, may they just know that they are called to stand on who you are. May they fix their eyes on the hope that is in you. May they live loud. May they be bold about who you are. May they not be afraid to say it right out loud, Lord, that they know that they are loved by you and that they love you right back. Keep their childlike faith within them, Lord, and help us to learn from them. Lord, we give them to you and just ask a blessing over their families and their lives. Thank you for letting us be a part of their journey to know you more and to look, live, and love like you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, guys. You can go have a seat. And now we've got our seniors. Pastor Chris is going to help me give Bibles to the seniors. This is kind of like a passing of the baton because now you get to be their pastor. Ta-da! So, good luck. Okay, so... So can we all manage saying our names too? We're going to give you, you can probably hold the mic. I believe in you. Okay. So we're going to let you say your name. And if you would be so obliged, you can tell us what you're doing in the fall, though that information will probably pop up on the screen.
Okay. I'm Connor and I'm going to be going to UB to study math and computer science.
I'm Jacob Goulart and I'm going to pursue cybersecurity, hopefully at RIT.
I'm Allison, and I'm going to go MCC for psychology.
I'm Dan. I'm going to Purdue for agricultural engineering.
I'm Sam. I'm going to GCC for digital art.
I'm Sabrina. I'm going to RIT for illustration.
All right. Can we give a hand for our seniors? All right, and we're going to pray over them and then conclude our service. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for these seniors. Lord, we thank you that you have brought them this far in their journey, Lord, and that you have so many exciting things laying ahead for them. Lord, we just ask that as they move forward, as they start this next chapter, Lord, that their eyes would be firmly fixed on you, Lord. Lord, as they start to ask questions of what it is you're leading them to do or where they're supposed to go, as they maybe move to new places and begin making new friends, Lord, would you just give them wisdom? Would you just give them a heart that is just so in love with you? Lord, would you just help them to stand firm on who you are? Reveal yourself to them, Lord. Continue to bend down for them. Help them to remember that you are right there. Lord, would you help them to fix their eyes on things they can't see? So when life gets hard, they can hope fully in you. And Lord, would you just help them to continue to live loud? Thank you for their lives. Thank you for the example that they are for us, the reminder they are to us to just live loud and bold for you. Lord, we give you these seniors. We give you their families. Be with moms and dads as they go off to school. Lord, would you comfort them? Would you give them peace about what their child is doing? Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for the gift of life that you have given us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's clap one more time for the graduating seniors. You can all have a seat.